Unit 16. Popular associations with Chinese zodiac signs. There are many popular beliefs associated with the Chinese zodiac signs. For instance, many couples avoid getting married in the year of the rabbit because the animal's short tail is a metaphor for a temporary state of affairs. Having a child in the year of the dragon, on the other hand, is considered very auspicious because the dragon projects vigor and authority. Some parents are reluctant to see their daughters who were born in the year of the lamb become engaged to a man born in the year of the tiger, again because of a popular saying, the lamb ends up in the mouth of the tiger. The rooster and the dog are fractious together, as are the dragon and the tiger. Unions between these signs, however, are considered harmonious. The mouse and the ox, the tiger and the boar, the rabbit and the dog, the dragon and the rooster, the horse and the lamb, the snake and the monkey. Of course, not everyone takes these beliefs seriously, especially those about compatible zodiac signs. Other superstitions have a significant impact on people's behavior. For example, news reports have suggested that many more would-be parents try to give birth in the year of the dragon than in the year of the lamb. To some parents, having a daughter born in the year of the lamb exposes her to a lifetime of vulnerability and hardship. Unit 17. Organic food. Food safety is a major concern in China. Green or organic food has become a popular, albeit expensive, alternative for those who are upwardly mobile. There is a nascent green food movement in China. Upscale supermarkets carrying organic produce and meat can be found in large cities. Where possible, some few have even taken to growing their own food. Vegetarianism. Vegetarianism is traditionally associated with Buddhism in China. Devout Buddhists abstain from not only meat and dairy, but also strong-tasting vegetables, such as garlic, onions, and chives. Collectively, these are known as huanshi, food that stimulates the senses. Less committed followers of Buddhism refrain from eating the proscribed food periodically. The diet sanctioned by Buddhism is called sushi, or plain food. It's not to be confused with Japanese sushi. Many Buddhist temples serve vegetarian food to worshippers. There are also restaurants specializing in vegetarian food. There is a large variety of soy products that simulate the texture of meat, such as
su-ji,
mock chicken, and
su-ya,
mock duck. Old commercial vegetarian restaurants in particular tend to serve food that looks and tastes like meat dishes. Newer vegetarian restaurants place more emphasis on bringing out the flavors of fresh vegetables instead of imitating meat. Unit 18. Sichuan Cuisine. Sichuan cuisine has become one of the most popular regional cuisines in China. The general use of pepper, Sichuan peppercorns, chilies, garlic, onions, ginger, and fermented bean paste results in big, eye-watering flavors and tastes. A unique combination of flavors in Sichuan cuisine is the numbing and spicy sensation called
mala,
caused by the mix of Sichuan peppercorns and chilies. Intensely spicy, authentic Sichuan food is not for everyone, even in China. However, people's tolerance for heat has increased dramatically in areas where the local food is very mild, such as southeastern China. A Sichuan tradition that has become widespread in China is the hot pot. Originally associated with the city of Chongqing, hot pot allows people to sample many different kinds of thinly sliced meat, seafood, and vegetables that are cooked very quickly in a boiling broth in a metal pot at the table. Hot pot is especially popular for family gatherings and small parties with friends. The atmosphere in hot pot restaurants is lively and the food is flavorful. Unit 19. Chengdu. Chengdu is the capital of Sichuan, which is one of the most populous provinces in China. Its ancient history and relaxed atmosphere make it one of the most visited cities in the country. A historic site near Chengdu that is well known to almost all Chinese is the
Dujiangyan
irrigation system. A levee was first constructed in 256 BC to redirect the flow of the local river to prevent annual flooding. At the same time, a channel was cut through the mountain to irrigate the dry Chengdu plain beyond. The system is still in use to irrigate some 2,050 squares of land. Chengdu is also famous in China for its huge variety of snack food and large number of tea houses. Whereas traditional tea houses have largely disappeared in other Chinese cities, Chengdu still has an abundance. Located in Sichuan Basin, Chengdu and its environs have an almost unlimited supply of bamboos. Local tea houses feature bamboo furniture, particularly bamboo chairs. Surrounded by mountains, Chengdu's weather is often cloudy, which encourages people to stay indoors. Many people, especially retirees, while away time in tea houses playing cards, Chinese chess,
象棋,
or mahjong. Unit 20. Halal Restaurants. China has a significant Muslim population, especially in the country's northwest. Many Chinese cities have halal restaurants, which serve food that is in compliance with Islamic dietary laws. The Islamic concept of cleanliness is called
清真
in Chinese. The word means clean and pure. Because of the Islamic taboo against pork,
清真
menus focus heavily on beef and mutton and use spices that are originally from Central and West Asia, such as cumin and curry. Halal restaurants are easily identifiable from their green and white color scheme and use of the Arabic script and Islamic symbols. Flatbread in mutton broth and Xi'an street food. Flatbread in mutton broth is a signature Xi'an dish. Customers break flatbread into small pieces and dunk them in a mutton broth. It is a flavorful and filling dish. Like Chengdu, Xi'an is known for its vibrant street food culture, particularly in the city's Muslim quarter. Unlike in Chengdu, wheat is the staple in Xi'an, instead of rice. Noodles, buns, dumplings, and breads are all made from wheat dough. Unit 21. Xi'an. The capital of 13 dynasties, Xi'an is one of the most historically significant cities in China. Known as Chang'an, during the Han, Sui, and Tang dynasties, it was the starting point of the legendary Silk Road. Particularly during the Tang dynasty from the 7th to the 10th centuries, Chang'an's influence extended far beyond the Chinese borders. Paintings and tricolored glazed pottery figures dating from the Tang dynasty, showing heavily bearded merchants and musicians from Central and West Asia on camelback, are concrete and vivid reminders of Xi'an's cosmopolitan past. Large communities of traders and diplomats from all over Asia and the Eastern Mediterranean lived next to one another in Chang'an. It was the world's largest city for 138 years, from 636 to 775. Shanxi History Museum in Xi'an is full of wondrous archaeological finds. Its collection of bronzes, tomb murals, and pottery is particularly impressive. Modern Xi'an is surrounded by ancient tombs. The most awe-inspiring is perhaps that of the first emperor of China. The total area of the mausoleum is 50 square kilometers, or 19 square miles. The burial mound has been left undisturbed. However, in the 1970s, local farmers unearthed terracotta warriors and horses while drilling a well. Archaeological exploration soon ensued. Four main pits of terracotta armies were excavated 6 miles east of the burial mound. the life-sized standing or kneeling warriors holding crossbows, swords, or spears in large phalanxes were buried with the first emperor in 210 to 209 BC to safeguard him in his afterlife. A museum was constructed over the pits. It is one of the most visited archaeological sites in China. Unit 22. Northern and Southern China. The most important geographic and cultural divide in China is that between North and South. The climate is generally more arid north of the Yangtze River. In the North, wheat is the main crop, while in the South, rice, which requires abundant water, reigns supreme. Except for brief periods of time, the country has been ruled from the north. The Yellow River in northern China is traditionally considered the cradle of Chinese civilization. However, at least since the 14th century, southern China, particularly the fertile Yangtze Delta, has been predominant economically and culturally. A disproportionate number of scholars, writers, and painters in the Ming and Qing dynasties hailed from the southeastern region. The purpose of the Grand Canal, which began in Hangzhou in the southeast and terminated in Beijing, was to transport grains to the capital in the north. Although modern mass media and frequent population moves have leveled the regional differences to a certain extent, geographic and cultural disparities are still evident. Southern China is very humid, and southern dialects are very distinct from those spoken in the north. Southern cooking, which takes advantage of the region's natural bounty, incorporates a much larger variety of fresh vegetables and freshwater fish and seafood. However, the South is incomparable with the infinite number of buns, dumplings, and noodles of northern China. Unit 23. The 798 Art District. 798 is the name of an old military electronics factory in Beijing. The 798 Art District refers to a large number of manufacturing facilities around the factory that were converted into art galleries and other kinds of exhibition and performance spaces, beginning in 2002. The precinct covers an area of almost a quarter mile. Many of the soaring industrial buildings in reinforced concrete or bricks were donated by the Eastern government and designed by East German architects in the 1950s. Beijing is the undisputed artistic capital of China. The 798 Art District is one of the most important showcases of Beijing's artistic vibrance. In recent years, however, the 798 Art District has become increasingly commercialized. Many artists have moved into more affordable studios in the city's outer suburbs. Newer artistic hotspots have sprung up, but 798 remains the most famous to the general public. Unit 24. Massage parlors and bath palaces. Having a foot massage is a popular way to relax in China. One does not have to walk very far to find a massage parlor in Chinese cities. The routine is called a foot bath. The masseur or masseuse begins by pouring hot water infused with medicinal herbs into a bucket. The patron receives a complimentary back and shoulder rub while soaking his or her feet. The masseur or masseuse then applies pressure to various acupuncture points on the feet and calves. Each session lasts 30 to 40 minutes. Massage parlors of every description, from fancy Western-style spas to modest neighborhood operations, are also common sights in China. Public bathhouses with lobbies that resemble those in five-star hotels are something one won't find in the United States. These multi-storied establishments feature multiple pools in various sizes and at different temperatures, massage rooms, mahjong parlors, cafeterias, even cinemas and theaters. These establishments are for family entertainment. One could easily spend hours or even stay overnight in these bath palaces. Unit 25. Cupping and acupuncture. Cupping is a traditional Chinese therapy. A partial vacuum is created in cups placed on the skin utilizing heat. The theory is that the treatment promotes healing by stimulating blood flow. Many people swear by it and think it alleviates symptoms of arthritis and other ailments. Others find it overrated. Acupuncture is another form of traditional Chinese medicine. The Chinese word
针灸
literally refers to two associated therapeutic methods, acupuncture and moxibustion. In practice, the former is far more common than the latter. Small needles are inserted into the patient's skin at specific nodal points to direct the flow of
qi,
or vital energy, through channels called meridians. Moxibustion uses a plant material known as moxa, or dried mugwort, which is ground up and shaped into a stick. Moxa can be applied through acupuncture needles or burned on top of the patient's skin. Unit 26. Kunming. Kunming is the capital of Yunnan province. Chinese people have dubbed Kunming the city of perennial spring because of its year-round temperate weather. Kunming is China's gateway to Southeast Asia, with air, road, and rail links to the region. Many of the ethnic minority groups in Yunnan share similar languages and cultures with peoples in neighboring countries, such as Myanmar, Thailand, and Laos. Lakes in and around Kunming attract large flocks of migratory birds in the winter, among them red-billed gulls. Numerous significant religious buildings are another reason for tourists to visit the city. Yunnan and biodiversity. Yunnan is a highly mountainous province in southwestern China. Its rugged terrain gives rise to many localized atmospheric zones called microclimates. Depending on the elevation and other geographical factors, Yunnan's climate ranges from temperate to Arctic-like to subtropical and tropical. Its diverse geographic and climate conditions have made Yunnan the most biodiverse region of China. Roughly half of China's fauna and flora find home in Yunnan. It is the world's epicenter for rhododendrons and boasts more than 100 species of camellias. Unit 27. Pu'er Tea. Pu'er Tea is a type of fermented black tea originating from the city of the same name in Yunnan. Unlike green tea, which is the most common variety of tea in China and best consumed young, pu'er can be stored to mature. The process of fermentation and oxidation darkens the leaves, which can then be pressed into different shapes. Depending on the variety, the ripening takes several months to 10 or 15 years. Another difference from green tea, which comes from the small leaf varietal, pu'er is made from the broadleaf varietal, common in southwestern China and India. It is the fermentation that gives pu'er its characteristic mellow and sweet aftertaste. In recent years, pu'er tea has become highly prized among connoisseurs and speculators who buy and sell vintage pu'er tea for big profits. Yiwu. Yiwu is a small city about 190 miles southwest of Shanghai. Its wholesale small commodities market is the world's largest. The city boasts three clusters of trade marts, covering a total area of 43 million square feet. The range of merchandise available in Yiwu is also staggering. Clothing accessories, costume jewelry, Christmas decorations, stationery, sporting goods, toys, crafts, bags and suitcases, hardware, kitchenware. The list goes on and on. One rough estimate of the variety of goods for sale at Yiwu is over 400,000. Many traders from the Middle East and Africa have become long-term residents. Muslim restaurants and mosques have become part of Yiwu's cityscape. Unit 28. Solar energy and solar panels. The main source of energy in China is coal, the dirtiest of all fossil fuels. Along with low-grade gasoline, coal emits vast amounts of greenhouse gases and causes heavy smogs, especially in the country's north. In recent years, China has announced ambitious plans to develop renewable energy, such as hydro, wind, solar, biofuel, and geothermal power. China already is the world's largest manufacturer of solar panels. Rooftop solar water heaters can be seen all over the country. Nearly all the big rivers in China have been dammed to generate electricity. However, because China has huge reserves of coal, it remains to be seen whether China will be able to reduce significantly its dependence on coal. The environmental costs of the so-called green energy, such as hydropower, are also controversial. The Canton Fair. The Canton Fair is the oldest and largest international trade fair in China. It takes place twice every year, in the spring and the fall. It started out in 1957 as China Export Commodities Fair and is sponsored by the Ministry of Commerce and the Guangdong Provincial Government. Before China opened up in the 1980s, the Canton Fair was the only venue for the country's exporters to exhibit their products. In 2007, its official name became China Import and Export Fair. Although it has continued to grow, the importance of the Canton Fair has been reduced somewhat by more specialized trade fairs and e-commerce. Unit 29, Shenzhen. Before it was made the country's first special economic zone in 1980, Shenzhen was the name of a small town in a rural county next to Hong Kong. Its growth since then has been nothing short of explosive. Within a few decades, Shenzhen became one of mainland China's first-tier cities, after Shanghai, Beijing, and Guangzhou, with a population of 13 million. The city also hosts one of mainland China's two stock exchanges. Along with China's four other special economic zones, Shenzhen enjoys preferential economic policies from the central government, such as reduced tariffs. The city's cheap land and labor costs and geographic proximity to Hong Kong made it an attractive place to invest. Shenzhen's economy was initially heavily dependent on export processing and capital from across the border. However, in 2008, the so-called tertiary or service industry overtook manufacturing to become the largest contributor to the city's economy. Today, Shenzhen is a stunning example of China's economic miracle. The number of skyscrapers in Shenzhen is second only to that in Shanghai on the mainland. Unit 30, Yumcha.
Yumcha
is a Cantonese-style breakfast and morning tea. The word literally means drinking tea. In Mandarin,
Yumcha
is pronounced
Yincha.
It is the combination of a wide selection of dumplings, buns, pastries, savory and sweet dishes, collectively known as dim sum.
点心.
The pastries, the tea, and the way in which the food is served make
yumcha
unique. Tea is the most popular drink in China, but people rarely drink tea at breakfast, except in Guangdong and Hong Kong. Different versions of wontons and noodles can be found all over China, but it's the sheer variety available in Cantonese tea houses and restaurants that is unrivaled elsewhere in the country. Typically, before the food arrives, a server brings a pot of tea and a bill. Customers then wait for other servers to roll out the food in bamboo steamers and plates on small steam carts and stop at each table. Customers pick what they like, and the servers use different stamps to note the selections on the bill. Restaurants begin serving dim sum as early as 6:30 and continue through mid-afternoon. Hong Kong. Hong Kong was a British colony until its sovereignty reverted to China in 1997, and it became a special administrative region. Hong Kong enjoys a high degree of autonomy and has a separate legal, monetary, and economic system. Unlike the rest of China, where Mandarin is the standard spoken language, in Hong Kong, Cantonese holds sway in schools and mass media. Also, unlike mainland China, Hong Kong did not adopt simplified Chinese characters. These and other differences, besides its colonial history, give Hong Kong a unique identity. During the negotiations with the British, the Chinese government promised to allow Hong Kong to keep its way of life for 50 years. As Deng Xiaoping, China's paramount leader, reputedly put it to Margaret Thatcher, people in Hong Kong would be able to continue to race horses, play the stock market, and dance the night away in nightclubs after the turnover. The British introduced horse racing to Hong Kong. The Hong Kong Jockey Club, which organizes racing and betting in the former colony, is a venerable institution in Hong Kong and has helped fund many educational and cultural bodies in the city. Hong Kong is also one of the most important financial centers in the world. Its stock exchange is the world's sixth largest in terms of market capitalization. Many Chinese companies try to list on the exchange. Hong Kong has a vibrant entertainment industry. Its films and popular music, nicknamed Canto Pop, have large numbers of fans in mainland China and Southeast Asia. This is the end of the Culture Notes for Pimsleur's Mandarin 4. We hope you've enjoyed learning your new language. Pimsleur courses are available in many different languages. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Copyright 2013 by Simon & Schuster Incorporated. Recording copyright 2013 by Simon & Schuster Incorporated. All rights reserved.